Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Daniel Trusted God Before, During, and After the Lion's Den Event. Let me say that the book of Daniel has come down to us not as a particularly as a book of prophecy in the Assyrian tradition of the 8th century prophets. But the book of Daniel is decidedly a different type of Old Testament literature. It is apocalyptic. And the word apocalyptic means to unveil. Much like its companion book in the New Testament, which is the book of Revelation, which means also to unveil. The revelation, not the book of Revelations, plural, but the revelation in the New Testament is entitled The Revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of Daniel and the book of Revelation must be read together in order to get a complete picture of what these books have to teach us. And so, apocalyptic literature is a different, very different type of literature. Its structure is different. Its messages are very different. As John was the writer of the book of Revelation, he talks about this one Daniel has, this book of Daniel has come down to us as a document that tells us many things about the nature of the coming one, who is called the Antichrist, the man of sin, and his character and what he will be like. Please keep in mind that in the scriptures, that names denote essential attributes. Names denote essential attributes. They're not merely labeled. They tell us about the essential being of a male or female. So, Daniel writes about what is called the abomination that causes desolation. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 24:15, quoting Daniel 9:27, Daniel 11:31, and Daniel 12:11. The book of Daniel was probably completed around 530 BC, shortly after the capture of Babylon by Cyrus. There are those who want to believe that Daniel is fictional or largely fictional in nature. But this assumption rests form a philosophical assumption that long-range predictive prophecy is impossible. And so having that premise and place extraordinary limits upon what one can understand and appreciate about this book. However, research by notable scholars have disproven this philosophical function. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on the background of Daniel, because the message is extraordinary. Excuse me. And this book blasts open the largely fictional nature, the largely manipulative nature of official reality. And by official reality, I mean reality as espoused by different political regimes who have their protocols in place, who have their schemes and methods of bringing to pass what they have chosen to believe as necessary to rule or to control people. This message from the Book of Daniel has to do with God's message about end time events or eschatology, the doctrine of last things. And Daniel was among the, he was taken to Babylon as a youth. And he was groomed, he and a few others were groomed so that they could be useful in the court of the king of Babylon. So this young man within this environment sought to and did stay faithful to Yahweh and to Yahweh Elohim of Israel. He remained faithful. He was a man who studied the Devar Yahweh, that is, the Word of God, and he allowed the Devar Yahweh to change his life, that is, to transform him. So this man inculcated faithfulness toward Yahweh Elohim to the faithful intake of the Devar Yahweh, that is, the Word of God. Devar is a dynamic verb. Devar represents activity. Devar represents the unleashing of the will of God through his word. Devar is the activity of the word of God in history. And so, Daniel is well worth our study. Daniel worked in the government of Babylon. Now, Babylon is located in the area of Iraq. It is 60 miles south of Baghdad, on the banks of the Euphrates River. Babylon is found several times in scripture with several meanings. Not only to a particular city, but also to a religious system that was abhorrent to God. So Babylon, there is the actual city of Babylon, the actual political system of Babylon, which is accompanied by a religious that is opposed to God. And in Revelation 19, we're told that God will destroy the complete. Now, reference to a political Babylon pertains to the Gentile world system, which has existed since the days of Nimrod, and will continue until eradicated by Jesus Christ at the second coming. Revelation 19, verses 19-21. Babylon, given as Babel, from the root Bala, and it means to confound. Excuse me. Now, the oldest ziggurat that has been excavated, that is one of the oldest ziggurats that has been excavated at Erech, which is in Genesis 2, or southern Babylon, and it dates from the 4th millennium BC. So Daniel has been, or was called of God, and taken away from his ancestral home. And once again, he was groomed to be useful to the king of Babylon. Now, it reads in Daniel 1:1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, more accurately, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia. Now, this is the Neo-Babylonian Empire. The Neo-Babylonian Empire. And put the treasure and put it in the treasure house of God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young man without any physical defect or deformity, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. It's from the Babylonians that we receive the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is a flood narrative. So this is very important history that we should know. This is very important history that we should study. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the table. They were to be trained for 3 years. After that, were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Chief official gave them a new name, that is, to plant their own life. So, to make this oath, they were. I think they were. Which is a very, very radical thing to do. To take away and the official gave the new name Daniel, named Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself, but which is very radical. And it does not show awesome, but it shows deep spiritual care. Now God, who is in the midst of this, now God, verse 9, had caused the official to show faith and sympathy to Daniel. See, this is, Daniel is God's man. Daniel is God's man. God is directing the last stand. God is in you in the life of Daniel. Daniel is a courageous individual. As an official, told Daniel, I am afraid of my Lord King, who has assigned you a physical. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men? Of your age, because the king will then have my head because of you. Daniel goes on, and it, at verse 15, at the end of 10 days, they look healthier than Daniel and his friend, and better nourished than any of the royal food. Now, please note here the importance of nutrition, and that Daniel followed the dietary laws, Yahweh Elohim. And Daniel did not compromise, certainly his spirit, that he faithfully studied the Word of God. He allowed the Devar, Yahweh, to change his life. And notice, Daniel understood also that not compromising God. He understood the importance of nutrition. He realized that in order to be healthy, verse 15, that he must follow God in everyone. So God is in the midst of Daniel's lack directing him in this foreign, alien, antagonistic empire. God has placed his man in a very high political position. Who will ingratiate himself because of spiritual and moral integrity, which are irresistible. So we understand, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. The Lord is doing this thing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Now, we move on from King of Babylon, and now we pass to Belshazzar in chapter 5, verse 30, a very significant event, but in that the kingdom of Babylon passes away. Darius the Mede and the Medo-Persian Empire. Hadar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 15. Chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Ben. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss or financial damage. Now, Daniel was taken from Babylon. He's taken from Judah. He grows up in Babylon. He ingratiates himself to the king. The king admires and uses Daniel in an extraordinary way. And even when the kingdom is turned over, Daniel is now an older man, much older man, and God is still using him. Darius the Mede will use Daniel in his administration. And verse 3 of chapter 6, we read, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional quality that the king planned to serve him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. They were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do, notice, with the law of this God. So they went searching for ways to undermine the very exception. Now, in verse 3 of chapter 6, we read, not Daniel so distinguished. So in the Hebrew, we read, this Daniel was preferred above. This Daniel was preferred above. Now, the hitpayo in tow, which is a type of action in Hebrew, has both a reflective and a passive form. And so we read, this Daniel was preferred. And the PL perfect of the verb to be, or Allah. Plus, the hitpayo participle of next match presents the concept of surpassing and conquering. The if pile dem is reflective and connotes Daniel's self-conquest through the word of God. Daniel learned to place divine viewpoint, that is, God's viewpoint, above his own thinking. He regarded life, its problems, and solutions from divine people. And so, we are to understand that at that time, Daniel, having conquered himself through the word, was the pastor. This was an extraordinary man in many ways. An extraordinary individual. And so these administrators in verse 6 hastened together a group in order to destroy Daniel. Daniel found out the situation and they were going to attack him. Now, verse 10 reads, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published against him, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards him. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees prayed for the same to his God, just as he had done before. Publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except you, O king, will be thrown into the lion's den. So the king was manipulated into this law, and so he had to carry out this against Daniel. Daniel did not have mental attitudes then. These individuals. Seeing so the king gave the order and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. This king loved and admired Daniel. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." Stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king filled it with his own signet with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace, spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him. He could not sleep. The first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion. He hurried there. He knew that an innocent, wonderful man had been destroyed. But he came near the den. He called in hopeful expectation. He called to Daniel in an anguished Daniel, servant of the living God. Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lion's den? Story in here, verse 21, Daniel answered, "O king, my God is an angel, and you shut the mouth of the lion. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you." The king was overjoyed and gave the orders to lift Daniel out from the den. No wound was found on him because he had trusted him. Let me say to you, my brothers and sisters around the world who are in the lion's den because of your faithfulness to God, God will lift you up and no one will be one because you trust the living God. And it's such a message. Have a great day.